There was an email address which was abuse@lacnit.net. It was not published as a contact point for the region because this is just an internal email address. But we were receiving many emails by people reporting those cases. So we knew that this was happening. And the last straw was 2 years ago when we received a huge list that was sent to us of open recursive DNS. It was about 3,000 or 4,000. So we were frustrated at that time because we didn't have the capability and we didn't have the resources and the manpower to work on that, because having such a list is not a list that may be published in an email address. So we had to perform a whoist analysis. We have to send notifications to the parties. So we were receiving reports by the community, and they were very similar to security incidents responses. So the idea was to get evidence and to act upon that, to apply policies and do it in a consistent way. So with the approval of the LACNIC CEO and director, we started to work on an incident response system. So LACNIC has no technical or operational responsibility on those incidents. Therefore, we cannot go to change the configuration of a router, or we cannot go and see a machine. And then it was also interesting to define, without the certs environment, one of the parameters defining a cert is the objective of that cert. And that is defined taking into account the company. For example, this is the cert that belongs to such a company, or this is the cert that belongs to a certain country. In our case, we are not a cert. We are not an ISP. So what are we? So we had to make an analysis, and this is something important, and this was important for us, because we are a community which is defined in two ways, or that can be defined in two ways. On one hand, we are a community of institutions having IP resources, or a community from LACNIC. We have the legacy resources on one hand, and in our region, we don't have such an amount of legacy resources, but we have some of them. They are associated to universities mainly. Then, we created something that we call a cert that was defined as those organizations in the region having IP resources assigned or allotted by LACNIC. The next step to define this tool was the way and the role of this tool. As we said before, we do not have an operational responsibility. So we have a coordination responsibility in terms of incident. But there was an additional detail, which was our relationship with the organizations. This relationship is not as strong as a corporation or as a national authority. So we got the input from the people from Brazil, and we got a definition, which is the WARP. And these are the warning, advice, and reporting points. So this is used as a mediation stage or as a brokering stage. So what we do is we gather information about the incident and we provide the information. So we make all the efforts related to contacting people, for example, any contact that we have, taking into account the seriousness of the incident. And we provide the possibility of contacting the members. WARP is not our invention, although I would like to say that it was so, but this was an idea that we borrow from the British government. And this is a very interesting figure because they had many systems that were similar to the CERT system, but they didn't have the volume and they didn't have the resources to do that. So they created the WARP, this warning, advice, and reporting point. Next slide, please, Gonzalo. I have already mentioned this. So when it comes to the services to be delivered, we will provide services to the LACNIT community in general, but we are open as well to other communities. We will provide this information to open mailing list. And the main service will have to do with the incident mediation. And this is something that we began doing on November the 1st last year. Incidents, where do they come from, or where do we get that information? Well, we get that information from many resources. We do it in a passive way, that is to say, we gather information from the emails that we receive, or messages through a mailing list, or individual reports sent by people, and from a web template created for that end. The idea is to have a more proactive tool, for example, by using Honeypot or other tools. But we are now consolidating the operational capacity of this WARP system. As I said before, since November last year, we began opening these Pandora boxes, and we began working on this, and we found that there was a kind of 20,000 emails within this email, and we were not paying attention to that. Of course, there were not all of these emails were reporting incidents. Much of this email was spam, but we were able to extract approximately 70 incidents or 70 issues or reports that were considered to be incidents.
We have also set up several collaboration agreements with various organizations for them to share information with us so as to be able to identify incidents that may be of interest to the community. And we have expanded some activities we were already carrying out at LACNIC, such as regular meeting in the region, which we have as part of the May and October meeting of LACNIC, so as to improve collaboration. So here I have some data I'd like to share with you. Things we have found, you are all very familiar with this, some of you unluckily familiar with DDoS attacks using amplification. Some of you have been involved, all of you as victims. I hope none of you as attackers. But there is an industry of using amplification attacks using the SNMP. I didn't know that was happening. And we had tons of reports defining the origin ports and the communities, the SNMP communities that were being used. So we set up a collaboration agreement with one of the main victims of those attacks and company. We provide hosting for gambling or gaming servers in the region. There is something similar with NTP vectors and NTP servers. There are many phishing reports. Phishing for us, for LACNIC's WARP, is a sort of gray area because it doesn't involve a malicious use of an IP address. It's something more complex. So anyway, we try to provide some mediation here too. We also received reports on route hijacking. Gonzalo, please don't get distracting. You're in charge of the slides. Some things I have already mentioned, SANAD, the SIRT's meeting we participate in October and May, and LACNIC for some time has had an activity, actually activities workshops on responses to security incidents. And we put everything under the same umbrella so as to create consistency and to learn from one another. And I think this is the last slide. Thank you very much. I thank you for your patience, because I've taken the floor for quite a long time. If you thought we were finishing earlier, you are wrong, because we have some questions. I think that it's good to talk about the issues that have been mentioned during this session. This is an open session. I have some questions myself, but there is a mic in the room, so if you are interested in making questions, well, this is an open session. I'd like to start by the end, which is asking Don in English about universal acceptance.
What would you say this means for Latin America? Because, the more skeptical of us will say, okay, you know, Spanish is almost ASCII, so maybe we can basically ignore the problem. But I think it's relevant, so this is why I'm being like snarky question. And also, I would like to know whether it's Latin American participation in the working group.
So thank you. The second question, the Latin American participation in the working group is quite small, big in stature, small in number. So we would like to have more of both. And what? Why is this an issue in Latin America? Because, so this is where I get a little bit passionate, and I apologize.
I like that.
So, I my problem is I am fundamentally monolingual, but I recognize very much the issue that I want my internet, I want your internet for you to be in your language completely. In the Middle East, I want somebody to not have to know English. In rural Thailand, and the Thai script is beautiful. I have no idea how it works, but it is a beautiful script. But if I'm in rural Thailand, I don't want them to have to know anything about the English character set. And the same throughout Latin America. So, you know, Margarita was very kind to provide education for me a couple of years ago about the different languages, the different characteristics. And I think she used the word papa, and I'll probably pronounce each, but you can spell papa different ways.
Yeah. And it. Papa Father.
Yeah.
And the Pope.
English translating from Spanish to English.
And it means different stuff. So why shouldn't you be able to use the right word in your domain name? And that's why I think it's an issue for Latin America as much as it is an issue for Thailand or for Egypt or for anywhere else in the world. And even in the United States, which is the melting pot of the world, people in the U.S. should be able to use the internet in the language of their choice. So that's why I think it's important.
I find this topic extremely interesting. Margarita, hay micrófono?
Is there a mic over there? Talking about this same, Margarita speaking, when .cl, we implemented IDN some years ago. We were happy because we had introduced the 7 characters that are between ASCII in English and the English set of characters and the set of characters in Spanish. But eventually, what usually happens, and this happens everywhere, only 2%, at least in the CCTLD industry, only 2% of the addresses that are registered are IDL. When we talk about the specific set of characters, in a country like Russia, probably IDN is stronger because you have this effect. Russian people don't want and don't have to know English so as to use internet, and I think this is right the way it should be. However, the barrier to the development of IDN is related to the software industry, because if in the long end Valdez, with the stress on the E, which is the way we write my name in Spanish, if I cannot use Valdez with a stress on the E, the way you write it in Spanish, if I cannot use a stress, the value of the domain decreases. So the industry doesn't help us here, because developers who use domain names were actually don't helping users to have a web page with their name properly written, with an email address properly written, but also with their email, so they can use their name. So how are we going to persuade the industry? How do we reach out to them so that they will help us to improve on this scenario? How could we attract them to thinking in these terms?
Question. I take that off so I don't have to hear. And it is a role, it is an area that I hope the CCTLDs in the community will help reach out to your local community to say, here's this opportunity. It's a global opportunity, but it's a local issue as well. And we're trying to find some models for engagement. And there is no ideal model yet, and there's very few examples. But there are some. So the Thais have recently in May convened a local meeting with government, with ISPs, with the registry, with registrars, with academia. I forget who else was there. And they said, this is an issue. How do we address it? Small first, making sure the registry and registrars can support it, then a little bit broader to make sure the infrastructure providers can support it, a little bit broader to make sure the government can support it, and then a broader communication channel as well. The fixing of the issue is, it's not really too hard, I don't think, as a CIO. So IT, I don't know what the word is in Spanish, but the senior IT person in an organization. It's not really hard, but it takes effort because you have to look at every one of your systems. So you have to make a decision. When are you going to do that and how to prioritize that? But first, there are a couple of core infrastructure bits that are missing. So Microsoft Exchange, which is used by, how many people here use Microsoft Exchange? A few?
Four.
I'll bet many of your registrants will use Microsoft Exchange. So Microsoft Exchange doesn't yet support it. So if I'm a CIO and I'm running Microsoft Exchange, why should I change my systems before it's ready? The good news is Microsoft is working on this, has been working on it, and in Thailand demonstrated a beta version of their Outlook client. So that suggests At the APTLD meeting last year in Oman, we had somebody from Microsoft and somebody from Google talk about the issues. And the fellow from Microsoft made a very interesting point. He said, it affects over 100,000 different places in their programming and operating system place. It's everywhere. So that's why it has not been a quick fix for them. They've been working on it for years. The fact that they showed a demo of the Outlook client beta, I think, is a very positive sign. So to answer your question, we would like to work particularly with the CCs, but also the whole members within the DNS community to reach out to your community to show them the opportunities. We don't have a model for you to follow yet, but we would be delighted to work with you as you evolve that. And I'll just give you one other story. So you talked about the Valdez, right? So I live in New Zealand. We have three official languages in New Zealand, two written. One is English, the other is Māori. And I'll give you a quick lesson in Māori. So the word for book in Spanish is libro. In Māori is puka puka. To make it books, more than one book, in Spanish you add an S, libros. In Māori you add N-G-A to the beginning, so it's nai puka puka. But the A has a bar over it to say that it's a long A. So it's na puka puka. So I have the domain name napukapuka.nz because I have a bookshop. And I have my email address is toa, which means shop, at napukapuka.nz. So I have been using that email address to register on websites in New Zealand and to engage with the government and the tax department. Oy. They can't cope with it. Even the Māori party, so we have there's a New Zealand political party, their systems aren't well able to cope with it. Internet NZ is still working on getting their systems to be able to handle them. But they are making progress. So it is a personal issue for me. I think it's the right thing to do for the people of the world, and it's the right thing for you to do for your community.
I tengo desde el Adobe Connect, tengo un par de comentarios que me parecen interesantes también para repetir sobre este tema.
Martinez speaking. I have some comments from Adobe Connect.
Comments that he believes that some special focus should be put on people who develop DNS libraries. Yeah, resolver libraries, because many products will not implement DNS querying by themselves, but basically reuse a DNS library from other providers. Programming libraries in general.
Programming languages we got, DNS libraries was not on the radar. Thank you.
And there's more a joke than a question. Patricio from Chile comments that NixEL was once sued in court by someone who claimed his or her IDN domain didn't work. And the reason was that it was broken, or he claimed that it was broken because his email didn't work. So it's interesting. Exactly. Bueno, siendo exactamente la 1:05.
Carlos Martinez, as it's 1 o'clock sharp, I thank you for your patience, and I hope you have enjoyed these sessions. If you have further questions or remarks, we will all be available throughout the days. Thank you very much to everybody.
Muchas gracias, Carlos, por moderar.
Thank you very much, Carlo, for moderating this session. This is Carolina Aguirre speaking. We will have an open mic session after panel number 3. This is not only to answer questions from previous panels, but also from questions from panel number 3 as well. We are now circulating some sheet of papers to take notes of the participants in the DNS forums and to be able to compare that with our record. So if you could be so kind so as to complete with that information. And now we would kindly invite you to go to the back of the room where you have lunch. This is an hour lunch. And this is finger food, so we resume the session at 2 p.m. Thank you very much.